John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was first in rank and power. The same came to Jesus by night. Why? Because he didn't want anybody to see him asking questions, because he's supposed to be the ruler, have all of the answers. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, notice he didn't reply to his question because it was just a smokescreen. You know, he really wanted to know more truth. And so Jesus, instead of responding to what he was saying, he was responding to what he was thinking. You know, he can do that. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Prerequisite, water and spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Doctrine. The word sound here, I've had so many people who say, well, where in the Bible does it say you have to speak in another language in order to receive the Holy Ghost? The word sound here, when it says, and thou hearest the sound, in the original Greek, it's only translated into one word called language. And so everyone that is born of the Spirit has the same experience. They hear the sound of a language. I remember that night. I took in breath and I pushed it through my teeth, and there were sounds that I know I didn't come up with, but it was God. And I knew. There was no question in my mind. Amen. Jesus, Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word, that you touch it, not only anoint this pulpit, but every pew, every individual that's in this place. Make it fresh and alive. Let there be fresh oil in the house of God. Comfort, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to be preaching on oxymorons. It's not giant, ignorant people, as some might think. I'm not talking about anybody in the church. Those in the back who are getting up, please sit back down and relax. It's things like cruel kindness, mandatory options, an honest liar, open secret, a definite maybe, jumbo shrimp, deafening silence, genuine imitations, and my favorite, first-rate seconds. Words that never should ever be put together, you know? And we have those things that are going on. They're called oxymorons. A couple of weeks ago, when Brother Granquist was here, he asked me to take him to the Shoe Bank. It's the Allen Edmond discount store where you can buy famous brand shoes. Allen Edmond, probably the best shoe is ever made in America, is made right here in Wisconsin. And he bought several pairs of shoes, actually had them shipped to his house, not only for himself, but his son and son-in-laws, and at a very discounted price. And I really think that when he agreed to come up here, it was all about getting shoes instead of preaching for us. But he kept asking the salesperson, now where's the flaws in these seconds, you know? And we really couldn't find the flaws, but they were discounted. At first glance, they look like there was no flaws or irregularities in them, but the manufacturers saw the flaws that the buyers didn't. The altar is now open. The manufacturer sees the flaws that sometimes we don't. Seconds are items that are flawed and don't meet the manufacturer's standard for firsts. But people like Brother Grandquist and other people, I don't know who, other people will gladly buy flawed items in order to save some money. Now, while we can settle for seconds in the marketplace, God never intended us to settle for a second-rate gospel or partial truth. God wants us to have a first-rate experience with Him. Would you turn to Galatians chapter 1? Verse number 6, Paul is writing a letter to the church at Galatia. These are people who are already baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. They've already had the experience that we have had. And he writes this letter because he hears reports. He says in verse number 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not persuade men, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, you know what? You started right. You started in the spirit. You're ending in the flesh. You're substituting some things that should never be substituted. We're living in a day and age where there are substitutes for the real. There are more fake things going on and being sold for, you know, I'd love to have one of those things, but I can't afford the price, so I'm going to find a fake. It looks just like it. And it's happening today within the ranks of the church. They're looking for something that looks like, but isn't. Amen. We cannot afford another gospel than that which we were preached, because there are no discount seconds when it comes to salvation. Would you turn to Acts, the 15th chapter? Acts chapter 15 and verse number 1, it says, and a certain man which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. A certain man did that. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So apparently, they weren't going to stand for it. They weren't going to back off. They weren't going to say, oh, okay, well, that, you know, I know that's what you believe, but that's okay. No, no. They got right in their face and said, no, this is not what you were taught. And being brought on their way to the church, they passed through Phoenice and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all of the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to be and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our father nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus we shall be saved even as they. Then all of the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Folks, there's a lady in our congregation who's been healed of stage 4 cancer. It's not because we pray better than anybody else, but we have adhered to doctrine, doctrinal truth. We haven't taken a substitute. First Thessalonians 2. Chapter 2 and verse number 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he, It's First Thessalonians 2 and verse number 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our heart. We were put in trust with this great truth. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking out of other tongues. We need to hold that. We need to keep it. People try to take it away from us. We need to hold it. And we're going to be tried because we're afraid that it won't please everybody that hears this message. And then if you go to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verse number 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. There's going to be a new covenant. There's going to be a difference because the old one had flaws. The Old Testament, the first covenant, was actually a second-rate covenant. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But there would be a day, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant if the Old Testament covenant would have worked. If holding the law and circumcising people would have brought salvation, well, then there would be no need for a second covenant or the New Testament as we have it in the Bible. Romans 8 and 3 says, For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son or flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The law couldn't save us. All it could do is condemn us. All it did is put up road signs telling us we were wrong, but it never delivered us from the penalty of sin. If you'll turn to Hebrews, I know we're working you a lot. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse number 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained certain redemptions, eternal redemptions for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Thank God for the second covenant. Thank God he didn't pawn off something that was flawed, that couldn't save us. Thank God for the first-rate seconds and not a second-rate first. The first-rate second is perfect. No flaws, as the first covenant had flaws. The law that was given by Moses was a second-rate first. But Jesus came to give us perfect, flawless, not a second-rate salvation, but a first-rate salvation, not a religion that we have to go through the priest and go through the rules that man set up, but now we can enter boldly into the holiest of holies for ourselves because we have a perfect covenant, a perfect promise, and a perfect God. Why settle for something less? Everyone today is looking for the best at a discount. You can't get salvation on eBay, folks. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not preaching against eBay, folks. The suit I am wearing is from eBay. Let me brag a little bit. This is a $1,400 suit. It's a Hugo Boss suit that I bought for $150 on eBay. Now, I'm smarter than a rock. And when it comes to clothes and when it comes to Allen Edmonds shoes, you know what? I'll go for the discounts. But when it comes to religion, when it comes to salvation, folks, God, let me pay the full price. Because if you don't pay the full price, you won't get anything. It's an empty box. Hallelujah. Well, I bid on it, and I got it, and they sent it, and when I opened the box, it was empty. Well, that's all right. I'll just try again. No. None of us would do that. And there are millions of people who are walking into boxes just like this, and there's nothing but emptiness here. They're not getting anything because they're not willing to pay the full price for what God said is that perfect covenant. Hallelujah. Salvation never goes on sale. It is never discounted. Now, there are denominations that will put God on sale. Just accept the Lord as your Savior. Free salvation. Come as you are, stay as you are. No change required whatsoever. It's a lot cheaper. It's easier. We only have a 20-minute sermon, you know. We only come to church. I was at General Conference a couple years ago, and I drove by a field, and there's a great big sign that says, "The Church Without Walls." And I'm sure it's attracted some people, because they don't want walls in church. But this church has walls because the walls were put up by the Lord Jesus Christ, not to keep us in, but to protect us. Hallelujah. But that is not what the brochure says. The brochure says that there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is destruction. We have to declare ourselves to be disciples, not only of the Lord Jesus Christ, but every word that is in the brochure. Take a look at Matthew 7 and 21, please. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We know what the will is. Amen. So just because people declare that they are Christians, it says in 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then Jesus said, "I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock." It's doctrine. 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 Jesus said, you must be born again or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. No discounts for flawed merchandise. Because as Pilate said, I find no fault in him. You can examine our Jesus, you can examine his book, but you won't find any fault. There won't be any flaws. There are no irregulars, and you cannot get it at a discount. You have to pay full price. There are many flaws in religion today, and as a result, they are sold at a discount. But the proof is in the end result. Will it get you to where you want to go after this life? That's the bottom line. You can have a wallet full of counterfeit bills, and it might look good, but when you want to spend it, can you? You see. Many wonderful works in thy name, but can you spend it? Can you enter in? Do you really know him, or do you know about him? Are you part of God's kingdom, or are you just part of a religion? Will it provide you with peace? Will it provide you with joy? Will it give you the power in order to overcome? That's the question. You need the real deal. You need the real thing. I baptized a guy Friday night. His name was John Deal. And on his back, he had a big tattoo that said, "The real deal." You know? The church is the real deal. Hallelujah. He got the real deal. Deal got the real deal in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. Would you turn to Matthew 22? There's something about turning the pages of a Bible, church, better than an iPod or an iPhone. Amen. Glory to God. I have been using this same Bible for I don't know how many years, and never once have I had to charge it. Matthew 22 and 8. Then saith he, this is Jesus, then he saith he to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad, you're kidding, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, there are bad people in here, and there are good people in here. At least a lot of us were bad people, and some you might even consider being good people. I don't know who you are. But then God said, you know what? I want you to be a part of the wedding, but you can't come dressed the way you are. I'm sorry, you can't. I'm really amazed at some of the weddings that I have conducted, the way some people come to the wedding dressed like they just came off the softball field. You know, when I was young, you went to the church, you dressed like you were going to church. You know? So that's what he's saying. Verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, it just doesn't seem fair, does it? Jesus, are you sure? Are you sure? He's come. Yeah, but he doesn't have the right garments on. So what are you doing here at the wedding without the right garment on? You need to put on the wedding garment here before we ever get beyond. Revelation 19, verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. How do you do that? For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Got to put on the right garment. Not anybody's welcome. I know that that's the mindset of churches today. Just come as you are. Anything will do. As long as your heart is right, Jesus sees it. I'm sorry. No, you got to put on the garment or you're not going to be allowed into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they. The righteousness of the saints. That's what dresses us. Amen. Glory to God. Nicodemus was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews, a religious man. Yet in a 20-second soundbite, Jesus told this high-profiled ruler that his first birth and religious compliance didn't prepare him to get into the kingdom of God. One of the greatest men on earth who knows scripture like no one else, ruled more people, had the credentials and the authority of the greatest religion of its day. And Jesus said, you're not ready because you don't have the right garments on. This was shocking news to Nicodemus, who was proud of his pedigree. But then, with the patience of a grandfather explaining a simple idea to his grandson, Jesus told Nicodemus not to be surprised that his first birth was not enough, but he had to be born of the water and the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. How can a man be old and enter a second time into his mother's womb? You don't understand. It's not a natural birth. This is a spiritual birth. You're being born into the kingdom of God. You're going to have access to miracles and power that you have never had before. Why are you not satisfied as a ruler of the Jews? Because you know there's something more for you. I wonder how many have walked through those doors, come into this place, felt the presence of God, knew that there was something more, but they went down the road to a discount house. Do you suppose that God would robe himself in flesh and die an excruciating death to save us from our sins and then make the plan of salvation so complicated that the only ones who could really understand it were advanced theologians to explain it to us? They say that the Bible is really written on a sixth grade level, so everyone have access to the information. and they could make a decision for themselves. I don't think he wanted to make it complicated. We must be born again of the water and the Spirit. I don't say this enough, but you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. You need to be, somebody said that, you need the Holy Ghost to live holy. You need to speak in other tongues and build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Like the wind that blows, you can't see it, but you can hear it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus said to Nick. No, it's not first-rate seconds. With God, it's second birth that is first-rate. And then it becomes flawless because no one can get good enough in order to get God. You have to get God in order to get good. What makes us apostolic Pentecostals unique is that we believe that the teachings of the apostles as recorded in the Second Covenant is the supreme authority for the church today, and it's not going to change. What saved you is going to keep you saved. But if you dilute it, if you downgrade it, if you're going to look for something cheaper, I'll tell you what, it won't take you all the way to heaven's door. There are no flaws to this undiluted teaching. It will never go on sale or have any kind of substitute that is as good as a lower priced substitute. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then, so help me God, if you don't have the whole truth and nothing but the truth, God is not going to come to your rescue, folks. You can play church, but I want to be the church. I want to have access to all of the power, and I'm not going to get it through an outlet church. They say that Wisconsin never pays full retail for anything. We are surrounded by outlet malls. We are the cheapest state in the nation. I have a standing joke at our house. When I get up in the morning and check my emails, I always have an email from Joseph A. Banks, and they have a sale every day. I ask my wife, do you think Joseph A. Banks is having a sale? Buy one suit and get five suits, or buy two ties and get three ties, you know? And so what it has done is it's lowered the value of the merchandise because nobody in their right mind goes in there and says, oh, can I buy this? It's discounted. But we need to be aware of that mindset. You will get offers all the time, even from what used to be Pentecostal churches, that they are offering the same plan of salvation at a discount. You no longer have to adhere to righteousness and holiness. But wouldn't it be a horrible thing that you're sitting at the table and the Lord himself says, what are you doing here? You don't have a wedding garment on. Church, there is no outlet mall for salvation. You got to get it and keep it and protect it and guard it. And this pulpit has done this for a lot of years. We're going to maintain what God has given us, and we're not going to dilute it. We're not going to open it up for discussion. Would you turn to 2 Timothy? Second Timothy, the third chapter, and verse number 12. Paul is writing to the young preacher. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. Not flawed, not seconds, but the man of God can be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's what God wants. He's not going to put it on sale. The truth that we have and were taught at the beginning of our walk with God are still relevant and vital to the continuing of our salvation. Not backing off, regardless of how many outlet churches spring up all around us. Outlets of, well, you know, these things aren't relevant anymore. We're in a new generation. We're in a day in which we have to appeal to people who, you know, aren't really churchgoers. No, I'm sorry. You know, the thing that gripped me was the power of God in a church that stayed with truth. Regardless how many won't. Paul said, the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, or teachers of fables or untruths. So let's look at our last scripture. It's in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse number 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So we'll all be judged. There's going to be a righteous judgment as well as the judgment of those who are lost. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and for the time will come. Church, I think the time is here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own, what, lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, or to tickle the ear, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of the evangelist. What does he do anyway? He preaches the word. Make full proof of thy ministry. Listen, church, we are not going to turn this place into an outlet church. There will be no discounts here. We're going to pay the full price. We'll make full proof of the ministry. And then we can boldly come to the throne of grace. And then we can say, cancer, in Jesus' name, you're gone. Heart disease, in Jesus' name, you're gone. We'll have the power. They're going to see the signs and the wonders because God's going to be working with us because we put on the garments of righteousness, and we're going to hold to the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?